chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. We're going to pick up where we left off a few weeks ago. Last week was Mother's Day. We had a family appropriate message for last week. We're jumping right back into the book of Acts today in Acts chapter number 12. To be 100% honest with you, I was just going to highlight this passage and just moved on to chapter number 13, but God kept on bringing me back to this passage of scripture, and I think it's something here for us this morning. I think there's something that we need to learn and something I think that can help us today. In Acts chapter number 12, it's probably a little bit of a, I guess most people just use that as kind of a tag on at the end of a sermon. I remember 2 weeks ago we preached about the sermon, how Herod, who was the king at that moment in time over that area. Once again, you got to remember there was a emperor in different regions. Herod was the one that was a king in this Jerusalem, Judea region. And chapter 12, verse number 2, he says he killed James. He killed one of the disciples. He killed one of the apostles. He put him to death. And in verse number 3, he says, because he saw it pleased the Jews, which meant that the religious leaders of the day was happy about it. He did not care anything about human life for the most part, and because it made him more successful and more popular, he said, well, if that made them happy, they went, and he says he proceeded further to take Peter also. So he kills James, and now he's getting ready to put Peter to death also. And remember 2 weeks ago we talked about how he waited a little while, he was in jail, and how Peter was surrounded by guards and between two different wards, and that for this one prisoner they had a whole big bunch of different protection, but God answered a prayer. There was a group of people that was praying over in a house. God answers that prayer, releases Peter, and Peter is set free, and it kind of begins to set the stage for today's lesson, or today's message. Peter's gone. Once again, there was 24 different guards that was responsible for one man in a prison that has two different wards, having to go through two different gates. They were trying to keep Peter in that prison cell. The next day, he was supposed to be killed. And today, he's free. And Herod's not happy. See, Herod was a man that was full of pride. And that's what this morning's lesson is about, is the foolishness of fighting God. And it's really mostly intended for this thought about helping us with pride this morning. Pride is a very, very dangerous thing. And when I read through this passage of scripture, I see so many different things. We could talk about persecution because, you know, it says in verse 24 that the word of God grew and multiplied. We could talk about prayer as we did a few weeks ago and the importance of prayer and as a church coming together and praying. And we could just see God and God's power throughout all this. But here in verses 19 through 25, God punishes Herod, actually puts Herod to death, and there's an interesting reason why he does this. I like to look at that for a little while today, and I'm praying that this can help us understand something. And I think the underlying thought here, if you oppose God, you're going to end up losing in the end. If you oppose God in his ways, in the end, you're going to end up losing. Look what it says in Acts chapter number 12, verse number 19. The word of God said, and when Herod had sought for him and found him not. Actually, let's go to verse number 18. Sorry, that's where we're supposed to start. Now, as soon as it was day, talking about the daylight comes, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. So what does that mean? They wake up and Peter's not there. And they're desperate. He said, why in the world would they care? A prisoner got free. You know, that happens all the time. No. Back in the Roman days, back when the Roman guards, if their prisoner was let go or escaped, they would have to hold for him with their own lives. You're going to see that here in a minute. In verse number 18, it says, there's no small stir. Can you imagine what it would have been like that morning? Waking up, Peter, who was chained in two different wards with 24 different people on the property, just probably to protect Peter here so he would not go free, and he goes free. I'm sure they're looking everywhere. They're turning over every stone. They're looking in every corner. They're probably out in the streets. They probably put some type of, around the city, they probably put some type of barricades, and they were checking the houses. They're afraid for their lives. It comes back to Herod. Now, Herod's upset here because Herod's not getting his way. Herod, once again, to please the Jews, to get become more popular amongst the heads of the religious leaders in Jerusalem, he wanted to put Peter to death. And who would dare escape from Herod? It says, and when Herod had sought for him, that means Herod himself sought after him, looked for him. And I'm sure he probably used all his guards and all the resources he had to try to find him, but nobody could find Peter. And found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. So we see here that he questions them, not happy, not satisfied with their answers, and he puts them to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and their abode. Now, Judea was the place where he was actually had authority at. Caesarea was more of a vacation type area. Many times it was where the Roman rulers would go when they wanted to relax a little bit. And we see that Herod, and from what I'm reading in the scripture, says, and Herod was highly displeased. Well, Herod's upset now. He's mad because he didn't get his way with Peter. And so he goes and he's upset, he's mad, and he says he gets displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. So he can't do anything about the church, so instead he focuses on these two small little areas. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace. So they can't have the king upset with them because it says at the end, their country was nourished by the king's country. So he said, these people are, they're afraid because of the fact that the king takes care of them. So if they don't kiss up to the king, they're not going to have what they need. Verse 21, and upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel. Now, did a little studying back in history, the way this is actually described in history a little bit. Herod comes out, he comes out in clothing, royal apparel that actually has silver. It's made with silver type things all throughout it. And they said when he came out and the sun hit it, it looked like he was glowing in a sense. And you see here, and upon his throne, he comes and sits down on the throne and made an oration unto them. Now, remember, he's talking to the people of Tyre and Sidon. He's talking to the people who are worried about losing what they were receiving from the kingdom. And it says, verse 22, and the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of a God and not a man. So they start praising Herod. They start saying, oh, that can't just be a man. Look at him. Hear him. He must be a God. And in verse 23, the Bible says, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. So the Bible is saying that God smote him with the angel of the Lord because he was refusing to give God the glory. And you say, where is he refusing to give God the glory at? Well, we see that these people are praising him. I think it goes a step further also that he is blaming the guards for letting Peter out. In reality, he should be giving God the glory or the credit for letting Peter out. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. So the implication here is that the angel of the Lord smote him, and he was then had some type of disease, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, there's two schools of thought here. Some people think it happened immediately, and the action happened just right then in front of all the people. According to what history says, that at that point in time, he contracted some type of disease that had the worms inside of him, and for 5 days, he struggled in severe pain, and at the end of the fifth day, he died. He collapsed in front of all the people, and there was a problem, there was a pain there, and then 5 days later, he died. But look what it says in verse 24. And remember, Herod tries to stamp out what he considers Christendom, this little church, to make the religious leaders happy. And he puts people in jail. He kills somebody. But look what it says in verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Despite the trials, despite the tribulations, despite the hardship, the word of God still grew. The word of God still multiplied. And then we're introduced once again in Barnabas and Saul. Remember, we heard about them. They had brought this gift to Jerusalem. Now, we can speculate they might have even been there at the prayer meeting. We don't really know because they were in Jerusalem at the time. But it says, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And we'll learn a little bit more about John Mark later on. But that's not the passage of Scripture for today. Today, we're going to look at this man, Herod. And we're just going to try to spend a little bit of time of a thought here about the foolishness of fighting God. Also, just remember this thought. If you oppose God, you're going to end up losing. If you oppose God, you're going to end up losing. We have a world full of people today that think they know more than God, that think they're more powerful than God, think they know what's best. But in all reality, in the world today, we need this remembrance. Saved and unsaved, God knows what's best. God's in control of all things. Herod is a man here who is filled with pride, and pride does some horrible things to an individual. There's three things I want you to look at, and I know there's so many more different things we can look at, but from this passage of Scripture, we lift from the story here, pride will blind you from what God is showing you. Pride will blind you from what God is showing you. Now, a few weeks ago, we went over and talked a little bit about Herod, talked a little bit about Herod's family. They were known for being kings in this Judea area. Even his grandfather, Herod the Great, was the one when they heard that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. He was the one that had all the children, 2 years and younger, put to death. They were trying to stamp out the Messiah coming. And now here, many years later, his grandson sitting on the throne, and he thinks that he's something special. He thinks that he's something mighty. Because he comes from this family, he thinks that he is even more powerful than God. You say, why do you see that? Well, they're sitting there, and they're saying, oh, look, there's a God, there's a God. He must be a God. And if you look back in the Bible, there's a number of times when people... Remember just a few weeks ago, Cornelius, what does he do? He falls on his face before Peter, and Peter says, look, I'm just a man. And a few weeks, you're going to see Paul and Barnabas heal somebody, and the people are getting ready, they call them gods, and getting ready to sacrifice to them. And he says, no, we're just men like you are. See, when we are not willing to give God the glory, there's pride there. You think about Ananias and Sapphira. They were looking for attention. They were looking for approval. They were looking to be lifted up as people lifted up Barnabas. But because they left God out of the equation, what happens? They were put to death. And you see here in this story, I think that pride will blind you from what God is trying to show you. That's what happens here. I think God wanted, God loves Herod. Herod's a pretty unlovable person, but God loves all people, for God so loved the world. God was showing and demonstrating to Herod that he could release Peter from prison, no matter how many guards he put there, no matter how many doors, no matter how many chains. He was trying to teach and show Herod something. Look, there is a God in heaven that's stronger than you. There is a God in heaven that no matter what you try to do to please other people and to bring yourself to a higher level, it's just not going to work. You say, if you look in the Bible, it's all throughout the Old Testament. King after king who thought so highly of themselves that would sit there and question who is God. Think about the story of Pharaoh. If anybody would have learned, God was trying to show him from after plague number one, plague number two, plague number three, all the way down to 10 different plagues, God is trying to teach Pharaoh something. Pharaoh at the beginning asked this question, who is the Lord that I shall obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. He looks to Moses and says, you're telling me your God should tell. Who is the Lord? You know what God shows him? He shows him who God is. And he shows him through all 10 different plagues, and Pharaoh still doesn't get it. Pharaoh lets him go, but then Pharaoh's pride says, I can't believe I let him go. And they take off and try to capture them. You say, Pastor, how does that apply to us today? Well, you think about it. God many times is trying to show us something in our lives. He's bringing instances and he's bringing circumstances in our lives for us to get away from our prideful selves and let us learn what he's trying to teach us. You think about the story of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Pharaoh at that point in time was probably the most powerful man in all the world. The first real world empire was probably when Nebuchadnezzar came on, unless you go back near the flood, I understand, with Nimrod. But here, Nebuchadnezzar has the first really set up world empire. And you go to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 2, there's a dream there. Only person can interpret it is God, is God's man, which is Daniel. Daniel gives him credit. And Daniel chapter number 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're getting ready to be cast into the fiery furnace. And what happens? They don't burn that. They don't get burned up. They come out. They give God the glory. Even Nebuchadnezzar says, there's no other God that can do that. Daniel chapter number 4, Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. God warns him and says, look, if you do not change your ways, something horrible is going to happen. And he does that through a dream. Daniel interprets the dream. Daniel tells him what's going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar still doesn't get it. God showed him time after time after time. And that's what our pride does in our lives. See, when we get pride in our lives, we will just turn around and say, oh, that was unfortunate. Oh, I wish that didn't happen. Oh, if that person would just change, everything would be okay. But many times God brings situations and circumstances in our lives that are out of our control that we cannot explain any other way but to say, that must have been God. And see, this is what he's trying to teach Herod here. There's no way that anybody else could have set Peter free. All these men were here, and all these chains, and all this, and all that. It was God showing Herod, look, I'm more powerful than you. Get off your high horse. That's what God does sometimes in our lives. When we feel like we're in complete control and that no one can ever tell us or teach us anything, that's when God has to deal with our pride. But many times we just miss what God's trying to show us. We're oblivious to what God is bringing into our lives to help us say, I need to deal with this pride and I need to get rid of it. So that's why I see in this story where Herod, what does he do? He doesn't say it must have been God. It says what he does in verse number 19. He sought for him and found him, found not, and he examined the keepers and did what? He commanded that they should be put to death. Second thing I want you to think about, not only will pride blind you from what God's trying to show you, but pride will make you care about yourself more than others. Pride will make you care about yourself more than others. When we think too highly of ourselves, many times we don't really care who we're hurting. When we think too highly about ourselves, many times we do not care about who we're hurting. You think about in this chapter, chapter number 12, here Herod could care less about the church. Herod, the only thing he's interested in is popularity. He's interested in keeping the peace and making himself more and more and more powerful. He goes and he kills James. What was James guilty of? We don't know. The only thing we know is that he was a Christian. He was preaching the gospel. And then when he sees it pleases them, he says, well, I don't care about James' family. I don't care about James being a leader of this church. I'm going to pick the next biggest person in the church, which is Peter, and I'm going to put him to death too. And he puts him in jail. See, when we have pride in our lives, we feel like it's okay to act whatever way we want. We feel like we can do whatever we want, say what we ever want. As long as we're being happy, you know what? Who cares what else anybody else thinks? So you see here that the way he treated the church. You see, next way he treated the guards. In verse number 19, it says he found him not and being examined of the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. You say, Pastor, that was their job. That was their responsibility. No, if Herod would have saw what God was trying to do and would have given God the glory, he wouldn't have to put these guards to death. I mean, Herod knew there was something fishy. Herod knew that Peter would have to be surrounded. Why else would he put one person amongst all those different guards? He remembered the story. Jesus, he knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. He had heard what was said about the stone being rolled away and the Roman guards being paid off. He knew about Christianity. He had heard about the miracles. He had heard all the stories. He could not be the king in this area and not know what was going on in this church and all the wonderful things that were happening. As we talk about as Peter was walking by and people getting healed as the shadows were falling upon him. You know, all that stuff, God was showing him and trying to reach Herod and said, Herod, pay attention. But he was so stubborn and so stiff-necked and so full of pride that he would say, life doesn't really matter. As long as it's my life, who cares? And walks over whoever he needs to. You see, he does it to the church, but he does it to these guards. These guards, I mean, they were doing their job. They were doing the best of their ability. But Herod could not give glory to God. And here's the key. It says the reason why the Lord, it says in verse 23, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not glory to the Lord. He refused to believe in a higher power than himself because he did not want to answer to God. And we live in a world today has came up with fantasies and have come up with so many things to try to argue away God. You know, we live in a world today where there's millions, billions of people that believe in a false lie of evolution. Why is it? It's because they don't want to believe there's a God. There's people back there that says, we don't want to believe there's a God. We refuse it. We're going to believe that all the different things of this world came together because two rocks collided. And because of that, the complexity of man, the complexity of animals and the world that we live in and how we're situated, it's utterly preposterous. Why is that? Because people do not want to give glory to God. And this morning, I want to help you understand. I want to understand it myself because pride is something that so many of us deal with. We only view how things affect us. We don't view how it affects others. Hey, you can do whatever you want as long as it doesn't bother me. But the reality of the issue is pride will cause you not to care about anybody else but yourself. We also see he takes it out on Tyre and Sidon. In verse number 20, he talks about how he's displeased with Tyre and Sidon, and he turns around and says, "Oh, there's somebody I can pick on. I know they can't do anything, so I'm going to cut them off." What is he looking? He's looking for somebody who's going to bow down to him, someone who's going to kiss his feet and say, "Oh, look, you're something great. You're something wonderful. Please give us more. Give us more. Give." You know what that is? That is pride. It's when we're so full of ourselves that we don't see how if we treat other people the wrong way, we're going to end up losing in the end. Why? Because remember, if we oppose God, we're going to end up losing in the end. Many times in the work of God, so many times people care so much about themselves, they forget what is really the purpose of the church, which is to win people to Christ, to disciple people, to have them baptized. Some people say, "Well, I think it should be done this way, and I think it should be done this way, and I think..." And we forget the whole purpose why God instituted the church. Third thing I want you to see here, not only will pride cause you to not care about anybody else, pride will also make you think that you're stronger or smarter than God. Pride will make you think that you are stronger and smarter and or smarter than God. See, Herod thought he could get rid of the church. Herod thought, "Okay, what's the big deal? I'd get rid of James, get rid of Peter. We could squash out this little church, make everybody else happy. I'll be popular. I'll be lifted up. Maybe I'll even get a promotion. Maybe no longer I'll be in charge of Judah. Maybe Judea. They'll give me other areas too." Now, Herod thought he could get rid of the church, just like his grandfather thought he could get rid of the Messiah. But anytime you oppose God, you will lose. Anytime you oppose God, you'll lose. You'll go back all throughout the Old Testament. You see people that were filled with pride. You know, Eve thought she knew better and took of the fruit. You think about Abel. He performed the right sacrifice. Cain thought he knew better than God, and he did the wrong sacrifice. Noah knew what it was to be moral and live according to God's laws and God's standards. The rest of the people didn't. You know, all those different things. Let's go back to the Pharaoh thought. Pharaoh thought, "I'm king. I'm the Pharaoh. I'm the one ruler of the world. I can't let..." And he lets the people go. And he says, "Even though I've seen all these things happen, I'm still stronger than that God. I'm going to go capture them." What does it cost him in the end? He loses his life. He loses his son's life. He loses all his chariots and all his horses and all his army. It costs him so much. You think about Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar looks at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and says, "Who is this God that can deliver you from me?" He was so full of pride, even though Daniel had already interpreted the dream, even though Daniel had been stronger from Daniel chapter number 1 and Daniel chapter number 2, he looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and says, "I know your God can interpret these dreams, but who is the God that can deliver you from me?" And God showed him who. But still into Daniel chapter number 4, God tells him to repent. And what happens? It says, Daniel chapter 4 says, at the end of the 12 months, he walked the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" He says, "Look, I've done all this. Who is God to tell me what to do?" Church, this is what bothers me, and this is what worries me, is that many times our pride tells us that we know better than God. God tells us in His Word, lovingly and kindly, "This is the best way to live. This is what I expect from you. This is the type of life that I will best bless." But you know what pride tells us? "Well, I don't need to read my Bible." Pride tells us, "Hey, I'm good enough. I don't need to come to church all the time." Our pride tells us, "Hey, why do I need to pray? Why do I need to memorize scripture? Why do I need to love my husband and love my wife? Why do I need to train my children?" Pride tells us, "Hey, I know better than what God knows. And because I know better than what God knows, I'm going to do what I want." It's scary. Because I see it in my own heart. I see it in my own life. I see it in the lives of others where God says He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And I know that and I see that. And when God brings us this passage of scripture and we see a man like Herod and we say, how could he not care about life? How could he put James to death? And how could he want to put Peter to death? And how could he do that to the guards? And how could he be so arrogant and so prideful to think that people are calling him a god and he won't even correct them? But then I see it in our own lives and we grab a hold and say, I think this is right and nothing else is right but what I believe and what I think. And our pride swells up in us and we just turn out and say, I know what the Bible says, but this is what I'm going to do. Pride tells us we can deal with the sin. Pride says, I know the Bible tells me not to do this, but I can deal with that relationship. I can deal with flirting with that other person's husband or wife. I can deal with watching that show. I know it's not pleasing to God, but I can watch it and it's not going to hurt me. I can look at that thing on the internet. It's not going to bother me. The Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible tells you what we sow, we will reap. The Bible tells us all these things, but our pride swells up within us and says, I know God says forgive, but I can't see why I should. Pride is a very dangerous thing. Pride tells us we can go against God's word and expect something different. Pride will say, God won't do that. And when God does, we're just amazed and say, why did God do that? You see here, in this, there's a couple of phrases that God brought me to. That one that's found in verse number 23 says, because he gave not God the glory. Christian, we should be humble servants of the Lord and realize this creator of the universe that has the order of everything and knows all things and still loves us, that nothing good comes from me but God. Everything is only because of God and what God's done in my life. Our pride wants us to be praised. The only reason why he didn't care for Tyre and Sidon then, he wanted someone, after he had been embarrassed in Jerusalem, he wanted someone to come over and sing his praises and lift him up and make him feel big and make him feel strong and make him feel good. Christian, that's not us. Not as believers. Not as Christians that depend and say, God, I need you for every hour. You see Herod here thinking he can do whatever he wants, but you see later on in the chapter, you see people on their face before God in Mary's house praying and saying, God, we can't do this. We need you. That's where we need to be. Lord, teach me, show me, lead me. God, I'm utterly dependent upon you. Lord, I hate this pride that is in my life and I want to fight against it. If you oppose God, you're going to end up losing in the end. What do people fight against? They fight against salvation. You know, many times pride is one of the reasons why we people do not accept Christ. Pride is a reason why people will not say, I know I'm a sinner, I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and I know Jesus Christ paid my sin debt for me. And if you're here this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and what pride is, it your pride that will stop you from admitting what the Bible says is true and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that pride will take you straight to a horrible place called hell. But if in our hearts we allow God to work and show us through his word that we're all sinners, and because of our sin, there had to be a penalty that was paid, and that Jesus Christ came to this cross and paid that penalty for us, and he died for us. He was buried and he rose again for our salvation, and we asked Christ to save us from our sins. We have to get rid of our pride before we'll ever accept him. This morning, have you ever done that in your life? If you haven't, I encourage you to do it today. People also fight against surrender. You know, the Bible says about us being willing to do whatever God asks us to do. We fight against surrender at times. I don't want to do it. You know, God's asking me to do it, but I refuse to do it. We fight against sanctification and the idea of becoming more like Christ. I don't see why I need to live by these guidelines. That's our pride. We need to fight against it. Listen with some of the verses. I just chose some verses from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Isn't that amazing? The only time there's contention is when there's prideful people involved. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Proverbs 16:8, probably the most familiar verse, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know what? Pharaoh fell. Nebuchadnezzar fell. Herod falls because of his pride. Proverbs 29:23, which is the memory verse in your bulletin, a man's pride shall bring him low, but the honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Pride versus what we should be, humble. I know, I think it was a few years ago, I gave out a piece of paper. It was an article written by Harold Vaughn called Pride versus Brokenness. And I got a copy of it back on the offering plate table. So if maybe some of the ushers could be passing them out as we leave. But the Bible says God hates pride. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as one be of a contrite spirit. The Bible says in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. So I want to encourage you this morning. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud. God says no to the proud. God says, I can't help you when you're acting like this. But he says, you know what? If we have a broken heart and a broken spirit and we come to God, he says, I'll give you more grace. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. This morning, I want you to understand the importance of if you go against God, if you oppose God, you'll lose. It's foolish to fight against God. I'm going to read a couple of these things and we'll be done. Pride versus brokenness. Once again, there's a copy of these in the back if you're interested in them. Pride grieves God. Brokenness secures grace. Pride sets you up for a fall. Brokenness prepares the way of God's favor. Pride spawns competition. Brokenness builds community. Pride keeps you from praying. Brokenness causes you to pray. Pride blinds you from your wicked ways. Brokenness opens your eyes to your wicked ways. Pride keeps you from seeking God's face. Brokenness encourages you to seek God's face. Pride is characterized by a stiff neck. Brokenness is exemplified by a bowed head. Pride fragments families. Brokenness reconciles families. Pride generates contention. Brokenness invites unity. Pride is the mother of rebellion. Brokenness is the heart of submission. Pride glorifies in self-will, self-effort, and self-exaltation. Brokenness glories in the cross. Pride compares self against others, and we say, I'm smarter than you, I'm cleaner than you, I'm stronger than you. Brokenness compares herself with Jesus Christ and concludes, I am the chief of sinner. Pride reflects the nature of Satan. Brokenness mirrors the image of Christ. Pride takes credit for accomplishments. Brokenness recognizes all good accomplishments have their source outside of self. Pride seeks recognition from men. Brokenness seeks approval from God. Pride will make you cover up and hide from others. Brokenness frees you to be transparent and honest. Pride leads you to blame circumstances on others for your failures. Brokenness accepts responsibility for failures. Pride breeds suspicion of fellow believers. Brokenness brings more suspicion of self than anything else. Pride is quick to detect pride in others. Brokenness is quick to identify pride in oneself. It's just one side of the page. There's a lot of them. They're good. It's really good. I encourage you to take it. I've read it multiple times, and I know it helps me. Say, why does it help you? Because I'm a prideful person. I have to fight it just like all of us do. It's just whether or not we're willing to let our pride be taken away enough to see it. It's whether or not we need to see, are we truly being what God wants us to be? I know this morning's message isn't the easiest to hear. It's not the easiest to preach, but it's something that's needful. When we are so stuck on ourselves and having things our own way and the things that we have to do things my way or it's just not going to get done, that's a lot of pride that's going to cause nothing to get done. I would encourage you today, with an open heart, an open Bible, ask God, is there something in my life that I've allowed myself to say, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do this anyway. That's us saying, I know better than God, and I'm stronger than God because I can take care of it. Remember the 3 points. First of all, pride will blind you from what God's trying to do in your life. Pride will make you care more about yourself than others. And pride will give you the sense that you don't need God because you're smarter and stronger than Him. Pride. And go before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Believer, we need to get rid of the pride if we really, truly want God to work in our hearts and lives. This morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, one of the main reasons why many people do not accept Christ is because they can never see themselves as a sinner. The Bible says that because of our sins, we have a wage to pay. The wages of sin is death. That's a spiritual death, eternally separated from God. You can get that settled because Jesus Christ paid that debt for you. And when we humble ourselves and ask Christ, I need you to save me. I see my sin, I see my debt, and I don't want to go to hell. Save me from my sins. Let me encourage you to do that. This morning, sometimes I know people give me lots of different reasons why they won't come down to an altar. Lots of reasons. Oh, I can get right at my seat. I don't want everybody looking at me. But one of the main reasons why someone won't come to an altar is because they're being prideful. And don't get me wrong. I know if God hasn't spoken to your heart to go to the altar, the last thing I want you to do is come down to the altar so you can look good to other people. That's pride too. But when God speaks to our heart about doing what's right, don't let other things distract you. Allow God to speak to your heart. Pride is something that all of us, because of our flesh, deal with. Some of us deal with it more than others. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.